You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. We here at Valley Public Radio cover a 7-county area, which in terms of election coverage is a lot. So to get some perspective, we're talking to Ben Adler, the bureau chief from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. He's been taking a deep dive into some of California's congressional races for their podcast, Keys to the House. And he's with us now to share some of their insights. Ben, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
So this podcast kicked off in May before the June primaries, and even before you took over as host. It started out hosted by former Cap Radio reporter Ben Bradford. But you've spent time before that primary and now after looking at trends in some of California's most interesting races. To start out, how, if at all, has the podcast changed? Was there anything in the primaries that surprised you guys for this coverage?
Well, before the primaries, I think the biggest question of all was, well, which candidates were going to make it into the general election? Because under California's top two primary system, the top two finishers in June, regardless of political party, advanced to the November runoff. So in a lot of races, there were these questions of, well, might there be two Democrats in a race? Or more likely, might there be two Republicans? And if so, that would kind of decide these races, kind of, it would have decided these races back in June. But now, as it stands, with one Democrat and one Republican and all of these swing, up-in-the-air toss-up districts, it does mean that California, and this is where we get a little corny with the name of the podcast, California could very well hold the keys to the House, because Democrats need 23 seats to recapture the majority in the House of Representatives. They need to pick up 23 seats. And at one point, Democrats thought that 7 seats were up for grabs in California. Now it's looking more like 6 one pretty sure pickup for Democrats, 5 toss-ups, and a couple long shots at this point. Even so, Democrats know they need to capture a significant number of those to speed them off toward that big number of 23 nationwide.
And early in those first few episodes, Ben Bradford covered 2 races in the Central Valley with an episode each. So both Republicans and incumbents, they're Jeff Dunham and David Valadao. And starting out just sort of talking about the themes going on with those races. So starting out with Congressman Jeff Dunham's seat, he's in the 10th District, which is in Modesto, sort of northern Central Valley area. What makes that race so interesting?
Well, you've got a seat that's been competitive the last several election cycles. Jeff Dunham, former state senator here in Sacramento, really someone who tends to fit the district pretty well, got agriculture background, and he has been out there trying to strike what he believes is a moderate, negotiable tone on immigration. He has come out supporting the DACA recipients, but he has also come out and voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act and voted in favor of the Republican tax plan. So on those two areas, he has also kind of tried to meet the needs of loyal Republicans in the district. He's going up against a Democrat, Josh Harder, who is trying to say that Dunham is out of touch with the district because of some of those votes. And there's a lot of money that's been raised by both the campaigns and the outside groups. And I'm sure many of your listeners are getting overwhelmed, and our listeners too, because Cap Radio reaches down to the Modesto area, are getting overwhelmed with TV ads and pieces of mail about this race. I think if you were to ask both parties, Democrats and Republicans, they would both say they're somewhat optimistic about winning this race, but they don't know for sure who's going to win. It does seem to be kind of a true toss-up.
Right, yeah. I was checking out some forecasts, and one, Sabato's Crystal Ball says it's a toss-up. I think 538 was saying that it's likely Democrat, so it's, you know, no one's really sure here. But turning to...
I think 538 is basing it specifically on polls. Mm. Cook Political Report, which like Sabato, uses polls as a number of factors, but is not as formulaic. I think 538 is somewhat computer-based,
sure,
and the others are a little more subjective than that. And last I saw in Cook Political Report, it was listed as a toss-up.
Mm. All right. And then turning to David Valadao's race in the 21st district. So that's more of the Southwest Valley. And he represents parts of Kings and Kern County. And in that episode, the discussion was really about the fact that he's a Republican in a majority Democratic and Latino district. And yet right now, I think he's fairly likely to win his seat back. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how does that even work? A Republican in a majority Democratic district?
Because for many years, there have been some Democrats who vote Republican, folks who, you know, maybe older, generally white, generally Democratic, who may have supported President Trump. And then also, you've got a lot of folks who are registered Democrat who are less likely to vote, particularly in non-presidential elections, talking about younger voters, minority voters. So those combine, I think, to give the district a Democratic edge. And of course, it supported Hillary Clinton over President Trump by a significant margin a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But Valadao, again, talking about someone who knows his district well. And in the primary this year, he basically doubled up his Democratic opponent. And they were the only two candidates on the ballot. In the Denham seat, there were a couple of Democrats and a couple of Republicans, and Republicans combined to outvote Democrats, but it was relatively close to 50-50. In the Valadao seat, Valadao got nearly two-thirds of the vote, and his Democratic challenger, T.J. Cox, got barely over one-third of the vote. And that's just, most observers consider that to be simply too big of a gap for a Democratic candidate to make up from the primary to the general, even though Democrats tend to turn out at higher levels in general elections than primary elections.
So it certainly isn't just seats in the Central Valley you guys are looking at. You just returned from a trip to Southern California, which is where there are a few Republican seats Democrats are putting a lot of work into flipping. That'll be one of your next podcast episodes. But can you give us a few highlights? What can we expect, or what will you be talking about with that?
There are really two core questions that we are looking at as far as the Southern California districts. And we're primarily talking about three in Orange County, currently held by Republican Representatives Dana Rohrabacher and Mimi Walters, and the open seat of retiring Republican Congressman Ed Royce, as well as the Northern Los Angeles County seat held by Congressman Steve Knight, although we did not go up into that area. But I think some of the trends at play in the Knight district are also at play in the Orange County districts that we did visit. So again, two basic questions. Number one, will rebellious Republicans, never Trump Republicans, who are fed up with the president, also decide that they are so fed up with Republicans that they are willing to vote their loyal Republican member of Congress out and make Nancy Pelosi speaker? That can be a hard circle to square, if you will, if you're a longtime Republican voter, who even one who does not like President Trump. The second question we're wondering has to do with these districts that have changing demographics, that are increasingly becoming a little more minority and not necessarily as conservative as they once were. Is that demographic change happening fast enough? And will there be enough of the lower turnout voters who do actually cast ballots this time around? So younger voters, minority voters who are less likely to cast ballots in general, and especially less likely to cast ballots in non-presidential years, will they come out and vote? Again, perhaps because they are so fed up with President Trump. So those are some questions that we're trying to answer. And anytime you talk to voters, it's anecdotal, so it's not like we have clear answers. I think, though, we found voters on all sides of both of those questions so that whatever the results are, you can see what type of voter will end up carrying the day.
Mm-hmm. And while we've been covering some Central Valley races here, it seems like a lot of people, not just in Fresno or Clovis or in Sacramento even, there are a lot of eyes on Congressman Devin Nunes, who is being challenged by a Democrat newcomer, Andrew Danz. And I think the real question at the bottom of this race, and a lot of what we're talking about, is a blue wave really coming? Could Nunes be unseated, or kind of looking at other seats, could a well-established incumbent be unseated in general?
So Democrats are certainly hoping they can knock off Devin Nunes, but it really is a super tall task. And it's not just because Nunes has outraised Andrew Janz. Janz himself has raised lots of money, and outside Democratic groups are starting to play because there are a lot of Democrats who are furious with Devin Nunes, and they've been more than willing to donate to these campaigns to take him down. But you're talking about a district that is much less of a swing district than the Denham district or even the Valadao district. This is a reliably Republican district. And so, again, are you going to get folks who do not like Democrats running government and particularly are very much in favor of water policies that Nunes favors, that President Trump favors, and Trump spoke about late last week in Arizona. I believe Nunes was there as well, along with some of the other Republican members of Congress, including Denham, and I think Valadao as well. So, are Republicans in the Nunes district willing to vote him out? And It's going to be a real tall task for Democrats to get that done. I think most political observers think it's a long shot. So I'm not sure a blue wave will cover it. Possibly not even a blue tsunami. You need whatever the metaphorical equivalent of whatever comes after a tsunami that would need to happen to take down Nunes. On the other hand, every wave election, there's always one or two members of Congress somewhere in the nation who do not expect to lose. And they do lose. And so, obviously, you never know. And that's why there are elections.
Have you guys talked about, or will you also be tackling, how much the national climate and the conversation about all sorts of things being, you know, Brett Kavanaugh and Trump's policies, how are those impacting candidates? Is that a topic par for the course for this podcast still, or is there no time?
When we were down in Orange County last week, a lot of voters brought up Brett Kavanaugh and his Supreme Court nomination all by themselves. We didn't necessarily have to prompt them. So it is an issue on the minds of voters in both parties. And generally, it breaks down along whether you support President Trump or not. So whether you're a Democrat or Republican who supports President Trump, you're pretty good with the Kavanaugh pick. If you're a Democrat or a Republican or independent, of course, who dislikes President Trump, you did not like how the Kavanaugh nomination was handled.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's where we're going to have to leave it. But we have been speaking with Ben Adler from Capital Public Radio. He is the Capital Bureau Chief and host of Keys to the House, which is their podcast about California's congressional races. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And we've been talking about how the outcome of some of those races might have a big impact on the House of Representatives. Ben, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Have a good day.